So it's a discussion.
What book are you buying?
With the official title, Phases of Holographic Kasidim. But I think I'm going to flash some transparencies, and we'll try to tell you about the physics of the D4-D8 model, which I, by some slight abuse of terminology, call here Holographic Kasidim. And of course, everybody is very welcome to ask questions. Because I think the model is interesting, the physics is rich, and if you're going to tell me how this model can be used in other examples or in other contexts, I'll be very happy. So, first of all, an important disclaimer that I really need to make. Obviously, the model that I'm going to speak about is not really holographic Kasidim, because we don't really have a holographic dual of Kasidim. Instead, I think a much more proper name, and which is also sometimes used in the literature, is the holographic model of Kasidim. So I'll use the words model of QCD and holographic QCD interchangeably, but I think it's important to remember that it's not really a holographic description of real QCD. So that's a disclaimer. So, okay, so what are the things that I will talk about? First of all, why the whole thing is interesting. Then I want to actually tell you about the model. It's a brain model which consists of D4, D8, and D8-bar brains, also sometimes called Sakai-Sugimoto name. It's a Sakai-Sugimoto model, although strictly speaking, Sakai-Sugimoto model refers to a very particular case in the parameter space of the system. Then I'll say a few remarks on the spectrum, I'll tell you about the energy scales, review the conjectural, to a large degree, phase diagram of real QCD. There is a lot of work on this. And there are also various techniques which I used to see what the phase diagram of real QCD is. And then I'll switch back to the model and tell you about the physics at finite temperature, finite baryon chemical potential, finite isospin chemical potential, and then there will be some open problems mentioned as well. So that's the plan. Okay, let me repeat my disclaimer that we don't really know what the holographic dual of QCD is. And of course, even if we knew what the holographic dual of Largeon QCD is, we would be in a good shape, but we don't know even that. So typically, in all, well, forget about QCD. If we want to get a holographic dual of some confined engaged theory, be it an equilibrium super Ian Mills, it's also not easy. Because typically, the examples that we have, the holographic theory is tractable precisely in the regime where the scale of lambda QCD, the scale of strong dynamics, and the scale where all the other physics appears are not widely separated.
What is a holographic theory?
I'll have more to say about this, but in the simplest example, it's the theory which is equivalent to the gauge theory, but which involves computation of within the framework of either string theory or gravity. But I'll actually talk about the precise model here. So that is, of course, a problem. But nevertheless, we can go to the regime where the holographic dual is tractable and see if we can get some interesting qualitative physics, which is supposed to be which may smoothly interpolate to the qualitative physics of real QCD at strong coupling. And we will see examples of this physics in this system. For example, we will see confinement-deconfinement and chiral phase transitions, how it's realized in string theory. We'll also see mesons and baryons. So it's interesting, even though pushing this too far and getting real numbers, like the meson masses, the baryon masses, might be a little bit hard to do. But qualitatively, we can get lots of interesting things. And, I guess you know all of this, but sometimes BERT is not going to be a useful tool for studying certain properties of QCD, like transport properties, chemical potential. And here we have an independent technology, actually. So when there is no lattice, people use various ways to get information about the physical system. For example, models like NGL I use to get, other models as well. I use to see what the phase diagram of QCD is in the with a non-zero chemical potential. And it's good to have just an independent technology in hand. And the other motivation, which is a more string theoretic motivation, of course, is that not only string theory can teach us about gauge theory physics, but the opposite is also true. So in particular, in this model that I'm going to talk about, the open string tachyon is related to quark condensate. So perhaps we can learn something about open string tachyon. And of course, if you can get some universal quantities, that's also good. So that's the motivation. Now, the construction of how does this model look like. So basically, it consists of some brains, D4 brains, and D4 brains spanning 5 coordinates, and NF, DA, DA bar pairs spanning every coordinate but being point-like on a circle on which the D4 brains wrap. So let's see. Let's say we have, let me write it down here. And D4 brains and the span 0 through X4. And NFDA from 0, 3. That point like here. And this span the rest. The separation between the D8 and the S bar in the X4 direction is L. So let this be X4. Compactified on a circle. So here we have D8, here we have D8 bar. The separation is L. That's the picture that we couple. So yeah, there are antiperiodic boundary conditions on the X4 circle. And at energy, it's much slower than the scale set by string length. We have just 5-dimensional Young Mills. Coupled with defects, which is just 4-dimensional quarks. So the energy at theory is much smaller than the energy scale set by the compactification radius of this X4 direction. Reduces to 4-dimensional Young Mills coupled to quarks, which is basically large in QCD. Well, at this stage, it's super Young Mills, but remember there are antiperiodic boundary conditions with respect to X4 direction. So all the fermions are decoupled. Good. So the scalars are decoupled when you go to the regime of large lambda. So presumably, the one loop contribution to the mass is large enough in this region. And the regime of large lambda, where by lambda I call the 5-dimensional loop coupling. Well, it's really the regime of large lambda form is precisely the regime where the holographic dual is good. So that is a little bit like the situation is in n equals 4, which might be familiar to many of you, where at small coupling, where the system is realized on the stack of the three brains, at small coupling, the gauge theory description is good. At large coupling, the gravity description is good. So here, the parameter which controls which description is good, whether the gravity description is good or not, is the four-dimensional Tuft coupling at scale 1 over 4. And from this simple equation, you actually see that this is precisely the regime where the Kaluza-Klein scale, the scale where all these other modes appear in the theory, not at all supranormals, is separated by lambda QCD by something which is which can be large when lambda 4 is small. So if we could, in string theory, treat the regime where lambda 4 is small, we would be in good shape. But of course, we can't do that. So as usual, we are in the regime where the theory is not really nil. But nevertheless, as I said, it's still interesting to go and study it. So all of this is really usual, familiar story in.
Why don't these D-brains get in big bar and out?
Well,
time scale is large, or what's
right. So there are two reasons for this. So one reason is that they're separated by distance L. So as you know, the mass of open string tachyon, which would annihilate these D-brains, has a term which is proportional to m². So in this setup, this distance between the D-brains is huge. So there are no modes that would, there are no perturbative modes that would annihilate them. But then you say they still must attract somehow. And the answer to this question is that we are working in the regime where the string coupling is essentially zero. So there is the regime where all this holographic description is applied is the regime where n is equal to infinity, so the string coupling is zero. So in this particular point, the brains don't feel each other. And the number of them is finite, the NF, so we are in the probe approximation.
But now if you look at this from the field theory point of view, right? So field theory, you need to consider at large but finite n.
Mm-hmm.
It's a field theory at large but finite n.
Well, what happens in QCD at large but finite n?
No, but I mean, you assume that at large but finite n, you must have this instability where these D-brains annihilate. Okay?
Right.
So what does this correspond to in field theory?
Well, first of all, I don't think you expect anything to happen in field theory. Just well, but in flat space, these brains would definitely attract instability. Well, first of all, the truth is we are not in flat space. We're in the space which is. So this intuition that they would attract is really coming from the flat space. They're really in the background where the size of this, the proper size of the circle in which they're located, it actually goes to infinity. So it's not completely clear that in this background there will be an unstable mode. I think there were even claims that this unstable mode didn't exist. So I think even the issue of whether this unstable mode exists on the gravity side doesn't exist is not completely clear. I would actually prefer if it didn't exist, so you wouldn't even have to worry about it. And no, this might be the case. So the gravity dual of the system involves some metric, which is a near horizon metric of the d-force. Remember, we're in the regime where n goes to infinity, lambda is large, and nf is fixed, so the d-8 bars don't influence the geometry. And it's important to just remember that topologically, well, basically the metric has this form. So there is a Minkowski part, then there is a circle, the X4 circle, and then there is a cigar, something which looks like a cigar. And now you, if you want to study the fundamental matter physics in this geometry, you need to place D8 and D8 bar brains in this geometry. And what you immediately see is that even though they are parallel in the UV, which is large U, where U is the holographic coordinate, the analog of R, holographic coordinate in ADS. Here, they connect in the infrared. So in particular, the global symmetry is broken from UNF cross UNF down to a diagonal subgroup. So that's the holographic description of chiral symmetry breaking in this model. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's the only example where in string theory we have breaking of non-abelian chiral symmetry.
Can you explain once again what do you mean by saying chiral symmetry broken?
Well, so the global symmetry of the brain system is if they're parallel, it's the product of UNF cross UNF. So there is UNF for NF brains on the left side, there is UNF for NF brains on the right side. But when they connect, the symmetry, the resultant symmetry of the configuration is a diagonal subgroup of it.
And it is going to be always the case, no matter what parameters.
In this example, well, if we turn on temperature, we will see that it's not the case. So at finite temperature, we will be able to see chiral symmetry restoration. But in this phase, at zero temperature, we don't have any parameter to play with which would violate the statement. So you would always have.
Does that mean that in any gauge theory, because you are not specific about essentially, you are talking about any gauge theory, are you saying that for any gauge theory, you will have chiral symmetry breaking no matter what?
Well, that's a very specific theory.
And did you replace actually fundamental for a
joint? I think that's a very interesting question. How to introduce matter in other representations here? So here is the metric of the space that I showed you. This is the Minkowski space, and U and X4 is the cigar. And the point where F of U vanishes is basically the tip of the cigar. So there is a limit on value of holographic coordinate where the space ends. And this limit and value, which is called UK here, is bounded from below. This limit and value is related to the size of the circle complexification. Again, this model, this particular part is known for since 98. I think it was Witten who actually introduced it. This was a nice model for confinement. Now, there is dilaton. And similarly to the ADS5 case, the parameter which sets the curvature scale of this model is related to five-dimensional total coupling.
What is the lambda 5 you didn't define?
So lambda 5 is the five-dimensional total coupling. So it's just g n minus squared times n in five dimensions. And it's a
let it to number four at the closed plant scale of the usual work. So number five for dimension.
Yeah.
Number four dimension less.
Exactly. Why it doesn't have dimensions? Because there is secretly an L string, which is set to 1 everywhere. Okay, now fundamental matter comes from the D88 buffers with asymptotic separation L. Their shape is determined from the DBI. And the results, as I said, the brains are connected at some point, which is determined by the asymptotic separation. Chiral symmetry is broken. One can get fine Lagrangian out of it. And the fluctuations of the flavor brains give rise to scalar inductor mesons. There are variants which are described by the wrapped before brains. And strings which are stretched to the flavor brains from the variants can source the electric field, which is dual to the variant current of the boundary. So what about the energy scales? So it's important to remember that the meson masses here are completely set by the separation, the asymptotic separation of the flavor brains. And the global masses are set by the size of the circle. So there are two parameters here, the size of the R4 circle and the separation of the flavor brains. And just geometrically, the scale of the global masses here is always lower than the scale of the meson masses. And we also anticipate that the global scale is going to be also the scale of confinement-to-confinement temperature. And L is going to set the scale of chiral phase transition.
So it is completely two different scales. They are not simply done to CD.
That's right, yeah. In this model, these two are different scales.
But when you express in terms of lambda HD, it's some kind of numerical parameter. Because you introduced lambda HD previously in the first transparency. And you just introduced R4, it is a lambda HD times something.
Right. So
L and R4 are...
Well, from that equation, you could have inferred that lambda QCD is precisely 1 over R4.
Okay, that's
right. So good. So the dynamics of the gluon degrees of freedom, the Jahn-Mills dynamics, is completely... Well, it's not really QCD, of course,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, I understand, but yes, I'm talking about this model.
Okay, so the meson scale is different from lambda QCD, so you have an extra parameter in this model. Precisely because it's not QCD.
And chiral phase transition happens at what scale?
Chiral phase transition happens at the scale set by the meson mass.
Not related to confinement.
Not related to confinement, yes. Well, it's related in some way, which we'll see in a second. It's basically related in the sense that the L cannot be larger than R4 times pi. Because a circle, basically you're in a circle, and the separation between the two brains cannot be larger than half the circle. So in this respect, you can never lower the scale of chiral phase transition. You cannot make it lower than confinement-to-confinement scale. So there is a regime where the two scales coincide. Confinement-to-confinement coincides with chiral phase transition.
And what's happening if you change number of flavors?
Nothing happens. It's all in proper approximation. So it's all in the regime where an F is finite and C is infinite. So this description is completely insensitive. Well,
to number of
unless it's wrong, Einstein and stuff. But
how does L enter the
domain of
the Lagrangian in four dimensions?
Well, very good question. It doesn't enter, obviously. Because because at weak coupling you just do the Kaluza-Klein reduction. So you only get the zeroth mode of the gauge field and circle. So that obviously doesn't know what the separation between the clever brains is. So by the way, this is not a good meson spectrum. We definitely expect different behavior of the meson masses at large N, which would be very hard to realize in the string model.
Can you keep on storms and
Yes, you see the pion. So let's now remind ourselves how real QCD, or maybe not real QCD, large N QCD. Well, okay, the diagrams I think are for real QCD. At finite temperature looks like. So first of all, the matter Lagrangian of QCD is this, and there are masses, but in this model, by the way, the quark mass is zero. So we'll be really talking about the model which has chiral symmetry. And there are chemical potential for each flavor of the quark. So the simplest case is when the chemical potential, all chemical potentials are equal. And this corresponds to just introducing bearing chemical potential. And non-zero baryon chemical potential, non-zero also small baryon chemical potential appears a trick. And the large baryon chemical potential is relevant for the physics of neutron stars, for example. So it's interesting to ask what happened. But precisely when baryon chemical potential is not very, very large, but is in sort of intermediate regime, the lattice is hard to do. And one has to resort to all sorts of models, which are not it's a quark chemical potential. So, okay. So normalization is a quark chemical potential. For baryon chemical potential, you'll need to. Yeah. Well, you'll need to multiply it by instance. Okay, now, so that's what various models give, more or less. So there is quark gluon plasma. So this is the chemical potential, baryon chemical potential. This is the temperature. So there are hadrons, nuclear matter, quark gluon plasma, and possibly some interesting phases at large mu.
This is real chemical.
This is real.
Not quark chemical.
Yeah.
It's one GBUC.
Uh huh. Well, I'm not going to have any GEVs on string theory transparency. You don't have to worry about that.
We will be talking about NC, so I'm trying
to keep this line, the temperature line, is accessible on the lattice. And
where does this come from?
Well, this mostly comes from NGL. Well, it's basically the effective model with the four Fermion interaction to some cutoff. Yeah. Well, there are other models as well. And well, they give various pictures. Yeah. So at large mu, you can, of course, use perturbation theory. So at large mu, here we can actually say something. Here we can use lattice. I think it's called normal quark, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure what that is. So we want to get an analog of this diagram from holography. Oh, and before we do that, here is a similar picture with isospin chemical potential. If you turn the isospin chemical potential, which is basically the difference of chemical potentials for up and down quark, you can actually use Carrier Lagrangian for very small values of mu isospin, and you can use perturbation theory for large values of the isospin. So as soon as your isospin chemical potential is larger than the pion mass, you get non-zero pion condensate. And that's a second order phase condition. That you just see from pion Lagrangian, so from Carrier Lagrangian. And on the other hand, at very, very large isospin, you can also do perturbation analysis. And what you see is, again, there is non-zero pion condensate. So Sonnen Stefanov said that perhaps this system, of course, I couldn't say about the region in between, but they conjectured that perhaps the system interpolates between the small isospin chemical potential, larger isospin chemical potential, without encountering phase transition. For example, chiral symmetry restoration never takes place as you increase isospin chemical potential. So this is also something that we are going to be able to see in this model. In fact, we are going to see precisely the same picture with the correction that, for us, of course, the pion mass is zero.
So you say there is no confinement phase transition at large units?
Well, confinement phase transition in this model cannot even be influenced by the quarks, because you are in the regime where NF is finite and C is infinite. But the chiral phase transition doesn't happen.
No, I'm not talking about chiral. I'm talking about confinement, which is the order of lambda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
this
one. So just the large unit definitely must have.
Well, if your NF is of order n C.
If you order n C, I agree.
Well, that's right. That region that we don't discuss.
What is A?
I think that's the confinement deconfinement transition.
So essentially, we're talking about the region before phase transition to confinement deconfinement all the time.
Well, in this model, the structure of phase transitions is different. So, well, I think it would be better if I'll, I mentioned the QCD, how the QCD phase diagrams look like, and it would be better if I should show you how the phase diagram for the D4D8 model looks like, and then we talk about this. So that's another phase diagram, now with non-zero isospin and non-zero baryon chemical potential. It's been computed in the random matrix model, and which is basically, I think, the model where some distribution of eigenvalues for Dirac operators assumed. And what they got is the following picture. So first of all, the fundamental domain in the system at zero masses can be taken to be this wedge. And so there is a region where pion condensate is non-zero. There is a region where one of the chiral condensates is non-zero. Then these are the regions where all condensates are zero. So this line is, I think, an artifact of the models. In particular, it doesn't happen in the Sonnen-Stefanov analysis. Actually, they couldn't access this regime. But remember that they were conjecturing that there was no phase transition as you increase mu isospin. So mu isospin is precisely mu 2 minus mu 1. So it's this line.
Try to understand normalization, because quark chemical potential, mu quark, so chemical isospin chemical potential, it is proportional to quark chemical potential, mm-hmm. quark of 1. So it is the order of lambda QCD where phase transition must happen to confinement. I agree that if you just say from baryon chemical potential, which is the sum of all the mu, u, mu, d, mu, s, it is proportional to nc. I agree with this. But in terms of quark chemical potential,
well,
phase transition happens at order lambda QCD, not proportional to nc.
Okay, but what phase transition are you talking about? Well, we'll see that some phase transition. We will see some phase transition happening. Actually, a few phase transition happening in this region, but not confinement to confinement.
Okay.
Because Okay, so finite temperature in this model. We are back to the string theoretic model, to the brain model. So here's how finite temperature is introduced. It's again the usual story. We compactify the Euclidean time. There are two geometries which have the right asymptotic. One is basically the cigar, which I was talking about with Euclidean time compactified. Another is the now thermal cigar, the Euclidean black hole, where if you go to Lorentzian signature, the tip is now real horizon. So another is the black hole, and one should just check how the free energies of these two things are compared, and there is a confinement-deconfinement phase transition. So since the two geometry are the same, it's really trivial. So the confinement-deconfinement phase transition happens precisely when the temperature is equal to the circumference of the circle. So in the deconfining phase, the black hole dominates. In the confining phase, the cigar geometry. So it's basically a Quicken page, except even easier. So now we put our brains. We consider fundamental matter at finite temperature. So we place the 8 and the 8 bar. And in the confining phase, as I said, they always connect. And chiral symmetry is always broken. In the next few minutes, I'll talk about the deconfining phase, where there is a horizon, which gives the possibility that chiral symmetry is restored. So let's see how it can happen. So in the regime where there is a horizon, there are two possibilities for brain configurations. Possibility number one, they connect as before. They still can do it. So chiral symmetry is still broken. Possibility number two, they just go straight into the horizon. In this case, chiral symmetry is restored. Curved brains correspond to broken chiral symmetry, and straight brains correspond to restored chiral symmetry. These are basically solutions, the two solutions of the DBI. And again, what we do now, we analyze the DBI action to find which one is thermodynamically preferred. And what we find is that the first order phase transition happens at precisely the temperature set by 1 OL. So again, we see the usual picture. For temperatures smaller than 1 OL, there are two solutions, two curved solutions, and one of them is always preferred. It's an analog. If I draw analogy with Hawking Page, it's like a large black hole in ABS. Then at some sufficiently high temperature, the disconnected solution appears. Then at even higher temperature, the connected solution becomes preferred. The disconnected solution becomes preferred. And then at even higher temperature, the connected solutions disappear. So the unstable minimum disappears. So again, it's more or less usual physics. So there are some formulas which describe this. This is basically, this graph shows you that at some value of temperature, both with isospin chemical potential and without it, the curved solution ceases to exist. So basically, if your temperature is larger than this, in the units of 1 OL, there is no curved solution. So that's the meaning of this graph. And now, as I said, there is a precise number here. So the chiral phase transition happens at this temperature. And one can draw a phase diagram where the temperature in the R4 is plotted against the ratio L over pi times R4. So remember that this is bounded from above by 1. And so what we observe here is that at a certain temperature, so this, by the way, is the confinement-deconfinement temperature.
Okay. temperature is on the
line. No. The temperature is on the vertical line. So this is L over pi times R4. So in this regime where L is small compared to the size of the circle, you increase the temperature, you first heat confinement to confinement transition. So you get a black hole. But the brains are hanging far away from the black hole, and they couldn't care less, more or less. Then you increase the temperature more, at some point the brains want to disintegrate. That's kind of phase transition. So there is a regime where the theory is confining. This is a regime where the glue is deconfined, but the chiral symmetry is still broken. And this is a regime where the theory is deconfining, chiral symmetry is unbroken. But then... Right. So because you cannot have chiral symmetry breaking. So if you would continue this curve, it would go below this line, and it would tell you basically that if you were able to describe, if your right face was described by a black hole at small temperatures, then you would have chiral phase transition at very, very low temperatures. But in reality, your face is not described by the black hole face here. So that means that confinement and chiral phase transition coincide. So as soon as you go to deconfining regime, immediately for your brains it's advantageous to just break and fall into the horizon.
So that point where they leave is critical.
Well, all of these are first order phase transitions.
Parameter X, it is not clear.
Is
it thermodynamical parameter X? What is it?
Well, no, it's not thermodynamical, but it's okay. It's a parameter of the theory.
I mean, presumably at that point.
No, it's No, I don't think the brain configuration is continuous. For brain, even at this particular temperature, it's still... So basically what happens, suppose you're at this particular temperature and you're talking about the deconfining phase. But then the brain configuration is not continuous. So there is a real jump. Now, if you are at the same temperature and consider the confining phase, then there's brain configuration. There is just one brain configuration with the same free energy, but I don't think there is ever a critical case.
Picture
of what?
Three regions. The brain configuration of the three regions.
Ah, well, sorry. Okay, I can draw it on the board. So here it's confining. Brains are connected. So So this is x4 the u. This is t and u. Here it's deconfined. The brains are still connected. Here it's deconfined. And the brains are disconnected. Something like this. Okay, so now find a baryon chemical potential. So baryon chemical potential corresponds to gauge field on the D8 brain. Curved solution cannot have flux because there are no sources. Straight solution can have flux because they form to the horizon. So for straight, so all of this in the first approximation. No, there are corrections to all these statements, but in the first approximation, that's how it looks like. The action for the straight solution depends on mu, because mu basically sets the amount of flux. The action for the curved solution doesn't depend on mu. So we just compare the two. Again, what we find is that there is a line of first order phase transition in the multiplane. So the scale of this phase transition is set by lambda over L squared, where lambda here is lambda 5. So it's basically a toothed coupling over L.
So it's again for a chiral phase transition.
Yes, it's chiral phase transition.
Something like color superconducting.
No. Well, you're at large in C, so you don't expect color superconducting phase anyway.
It's a quark chemical.
It's a quark chemical potential, yes.
Quark chemical potential is order of 1.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, if you consider isotopical chemical potential, it will be also order of 1.
Yes, it's in the same units, yeah. But we definitely don't go to this plan. So
how do you know if it's a chiral transition or not?
Because you can just observe the symmetries of the system. So it's basically the brains which go straight into the horizon have UNF cross UNF symmetry. The brains which connect have diagonal symmetry. So that part is easy. Chiral symmetry is restored, yes.
And if you do the same with the isotopical chemical potential, you will get the same, right?
No.
That's precisely it. That basically is an interesting question. So Son and Stefanov will tell you that you don't have any chiral phase transition when you turn on isospin chemical potential. And what is going to happen in the string model is that, indeed, there is no chiral phase transition there.
But the function is why? You don't have it?
As a function of isospin chemical potential, chiral phase transition, if you're at zero temperature, no. Zero temperature and zero baryon chemical potential, you don't have any phase transition. Well, your pion may condense, but it's not... your pion certainly will condense.
But it's just analogous of chiral phase transition.
Well, but by chiral phase transition here, I mean chiral restoration. So here, as you increase baryon chemical potential, chiral symmetry is restored. The point is that in isospin case, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, because there is a symmetry, you know, it just, in one case you have psi, 1-0, in the second case you have psi gamma 5, psi 1-0.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, essentially you have some kind of rotation. And it must be precisely the same picture.
Well, here you don't have any. Here, when you increase baryon chemical potential, all of your condensates vanish. You know,
even psi gamma 5 psi vanishes? And so the chemical potential is larger than critical, in this case, bias condensed.
You're talking about isospin or barium?
Yeah, isospin.
Well, good. All I'm saying is that in baryon chemical potential, the physics is different from isospin. In baryon chemical potential, you increase it, all condensates vanish. In isospin chemical potential, the planned condensate stays all the way. So that's good.
Okay.
Would it be easy to draw a third axis on this diagram that you have on the board, say, the baryon chemical potential axis?
Right.
This kind of this three-dimensional phase diagram.
Okay, let's try to do it.
Well, baryon or isospin.
No. Sorry. It's not.
Let's pick up some.
Yeah, that would be a five dimension. So you want this or?
Well, okay. So you just add mu sub b.
It's actually much easier to just draw temperature versus chemical potential plane.
Yeah.
And just remember that at sufficiently low temperature, you just draw a line at finite temperature or a plane if you have isospin and baryon. And at this temperature, the chiral phase transition coincides with confinement-deconfinement. So as soon as you cross this line, you are in the regime where
there is
confined and chiral symmetry is broken. So in particular here, I didn't draw this line, but suppose you vary L over R4.
So this is temperature?
This is temperature and baryon chemical potential, all in the units of 1 over L.
And this is for small x.
That's right, exactly. But suppose x increases. So this means that the line here is going to go up. So below this line, you have a phase where everything is confined and chiral symmetry is broken. So that's basically. So the effect of this part of the diagram at large x is easy to memorize.
Which is a second order, first order transition.
It's first order. No. So here the vertical line is temperature. This is baryon chemical potential.
Yeah, I mean, as you go precisely along the t equals zero.
It's first order phase transition.
It's still first order.
Yes, because you are at infinite and zero. So here is the isospin story, which we already talked about. So there is a pion condensate. Indeed, since the pion mass is zero in the system, the pion condensate appears right away as soon as you turn on isospin chemical potential. And formulas. So basically, you play a similar game, except now when you have isospin chemical potential, there is a possibility of flux in the curved configuration. Because suppose in the simplest case, your baryon chemical potential is zero. So you have some on this curved brain. So on this curved brain, you have plus mu here and minus mu here. So there is a way to have flux of electric field on the brain, which goes from here to here. Excellent question. Excellent question. This actually has been done in the system, and this changes the diagram in a very interesting way. So if I have time, I'll say a few words about it once I'm done with this. So in the case of isospin, the diagrams that we get from the brain constructions look like this. So this is the phase where pion is condensed. This is the phase where sigma 2 is condensed. These are the phases where all condensates are zero. So it's actually similar to what we had before, coming from the random matrix model, that there is no phase transition here. So in particular, if you go, if you increase, so here the lines are, the axes are mu1 and mu2. So the isospin chemical potential is this green line. So if you increase the isospin chemical potential, the chiral restoration doesn't happen. So that's the message of this plot. And this is another slice in the mu i t plane. Basically shows you that the that there is a surface of first order phase transitions which roughly looks like hyperboloid around the from surface of rotation, roughly speaking, around the mu i axis. So that's the isospin story. Before to conclusions, I want to address David's question about the sources for the eight brain. So here there are two possibilities for the sources. One possibility is strings which come from the horizon and sources. Another possibility is baryon, which here is represented by the default brain, which wraps this form. So if you go and compute, I'll have to draw the refined diagram. So if you compute the action for now with the presence of the source, so there are two competing terms. Well, one term is due to the electric field, and that wants to lower your free energy. Another term is due to the mass of the default brain that wants to make it higher. So these terms compete, and what you observe is that at sufficiently large value of mu, there is a second order phase transition to the phase where baryons want to condense. Now it's interesting, irrespective even of the baryons, because here we have a system where there is a second order phase transition. And now I'm talking about the phase where there's no horizon, so it's just a curved brain. Temperature is zero. Yeah. So here we have a case where we go from a phase where there were no charge carriers, because now at zero temperature, in the leading order in NC, we don't have any charge carriers, to the phase where suddenly there are charge carriers, baryon. And this transition is second order. So irrespective of the baryons, I think it's interesting what can be done with this. And then you again have to compare the free energy of the space with the rest. And what you see is that in the new baryon temperature plane, so before, remember, we had, without the baryons, we had just this curve, which was the first of the phase transition. This is the vacuum phase. This is the restored phase. Now the baryons modify this picture roughly like this. So all of this part is supposed to be the phase where baryons condense. And that picture was really, really, really puzzling, because of course in QCD at large mu you definitely expect that chiral symmetry is going to get restored. So,
can you explain questions? What are the sources of the end break? What do the sources of the end breaks correspond to in the field theory?
The baryon.
So, there is a more range of sources. Okay. Essentially, you need to J5.
Okay.
So, taking the gradient calculations, you must put J equals 0. Which would correspond to the physical situation.
But, I mean, you already have baryon chemical potential.
Yes.
And then on top of that, you put...
On top of that, you put sources. Yeah, you put sources because...
No.
You're in the grand chemical ensemble, you fix mu, and you ask, what is the thermodynamic in the third phase?
Yeah.
And in some cases, for somebody to mu, there's no charge density, despite the fact that there's baryon chemical potential. And in another phase, it's charge density. This is exactly what happens in QCD, when you're gonna before you reach the mass of the protein, there's no charge. And when you reach the mass of the protein, you can
I understand there is this picture, there is key wheel, there is this kind of water circle, I understand that. Now what happens, now what happens after that? What is this line that can...
Well, if you make, if you try to include other circles, phases in the system, which are represented by some default brain, right, and some spheres, and which is supposed to be dual to the condensation of the baryons from a field theoretic point of view.
From the field theoretic, you only have two parameters, T and mu, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, here you also have two parameters, T and mu.
Yeah, T and mu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So from the field theoretic point of view...
In theory, you know exactly how to interpret the very end. So you differentiate with respect to and put it zero once you
calculate
the
number.
No. The source is not zero. The source is not zero. Why?
Yeah, you can keep source, I agree. But in general, you introduce, for example, source.
Well, here it's important to have source. So it's this. It's a basically, it's a condensation of...
So is it a mixture of canonical and microcanonical?
No, it's canonical ensemble. It's canonical ensemble. You have your mu is fixed. Then you can measure the charge density as a function of mu. So there are various phases in the game. So you measure your charge density, you find out that the charge density at some point it gets non-zero. So that's it.
Okay, so these are not boundaries of phase transitions on this image. These extra kind of things that you showed, these are not extra phase transitions.
It is. Well, but
say that region again. What is
so this is another phase transition here.
Just
so as you increase chemical potential, you
I think it's not at zero, it's some non-zero value, and then the slope of this effective potential you call a source. It can be non-zero.
It can be non-zero. I agree.
You don't have to put it to zero. It's not a generator.
Mm-hmm.
You're computing with free energy, so it's fine.
So it's actually pretty bizarre. In QCD, somehow the sort of logic says that at large mu, the baryon should disappear. There should be chirally restored phase again. So in this model, there's a question really: what happens at large mu? So in particular, if one take, I think in this calculation that leads to this result, the self-interaction of the baryons has not been taken into account. So if one considers this, it's conceivable that the picture is going to change. But this hasn't been done yet. Not on the gravity space, on the brain essentially. So, and also, of course, the second order phase transition I'm quite curious about, because you go from a phase with no charges to a phase where there are charges. So what is going to happen? What is going to happen to transport properties, for example? But that is really, it's not really a second order phase transition, because there is never a critical embedding. The embeddings on the brain embeddings on the two sides are completely different.
I know, but the first initiative of the free energy is continuous. Does the coordination
Well, here there is a real critical solution. I mean, here if you plot the free energy as a function of so if you plot the free energy at various values of mu as a function of electric field,
yes.
So at certain values of mu, you have just one minimum, and the critical value of mu, you have the non-trivial. So this is electric field on the brain.
But what's the geometry of the brain at least?
Well, the geometry is kind of boring here. You can consider just the brain, which the second Sugimoto embedding, the brain which goes through a tip. So the geometry doesn't even change.
Okay.
No. It's all in the plane of baryon chemical potential and temperature. So in this plane, nothing depends on that. Do they have any conclusions? Well, these are interesting questions to study. So nuclear matter would be more interesting to understand it better. Whether one can actually introduce masses for the quark, whether one can study non-homogeneous phases, like chiral density wave, for example, and whether one can get some universal quantities out of it.